You're listening to the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM, broadcasting live from the dark, damp dungeons of Smith Gym. Reach us on the telephone at 335-2207, on the web at www.kzuu.org, and on our website, www.thepes.com. Had a bad weekend? Need legal counseling? Student Legal Services at WSU is happy to help. Student Legal Services is a student-run organization that provides free legal advice to students. So if you need our help, stop by their office in Ad Annex Room 305. They're open Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5, Friday, 9 to 1.
The KZU online stream is now running. Listen to your favorite shows from anywhere on planet Earth as long as you have a connection to the internet. Just visit www.kzoo.org, click on one of the Listen Online links, and we'll take care of the rest. Chemistry is everywhere. It's in the water we drink, the shoes we wear, and in the food we eat. If you're interested in chemistry, come join the Chemistry Club every second and third Tuesday in the Fulmer Room 315 at 5:30 p.m. and partake in various chemistry demonstrations throughout the year. For more information, contact Sean Richardson at 509-845-5196. The Associated Students of Washington State University's Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender and Allies Committee meets every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. in Smith Gym, Room 303. All are welcome regardless of gender identity, and this is a safe zone, which means that no one will be pressured to identify. For information, email wsuglbta@hotmail.com.
The KZU DJs read public service announcements like what you heard every hour. If your club or nonprofit organization wants us to read a PSA about you, come to our office in Smith Gym, Room 126B. Or fill out a form online located under the staff button and email it to psa@kzuu.org. For more information, call our office, 335-2208. We got brand new co-host Tom on the show. You've heard him in the past. He's coming in and talked about Ron Paul and a couple other political issues. We're going to talk about Super Tuesday, the Super Bowl ads, the Cougar basketball woes, and as well the Hawkins development plan for hopefully getting some money out there to extend services to the corridor. But in the meantime, the favorite of the PES, the Reverend Horton Heat. Once again, the favorite of the PES, the Reverend Horton Heat. Alrighty, well, Christmas break's over with. We're back up on the air. It's been a little bit of a little bit longer than I'd like it to be sometimes, but sometimes it's good to have that time off. Gives you a chance to recharge the batteries. And a lot of stuff happened over Christmas break and real recently here. And we're not going to really talk a lot about that kind of stuff in the first hour because we want to spend a lot of time on the Super Tuesday, which Tom really wants to talk about. And speaking of Tom, as the co-host of the PES, let's talk a little bit about Tom. Just find out, you know, who he is and what he's looking for in life and blah blah blah, all the cool stuff. And I was having some fun with the PSAs. I gave him a card that I knew he would enjoy reading immensely, and it showed as he read. He did a very good job. Like, and this is as soon as I had him read a PSA last time he was here as a guest. I saw it. He has the talent. I mean, he has the voice. He's the man.
Well, thanks, Scotty.
No problem. So anyway, Tom, yeah. Where are you from?
From Richland, Washington.
Is that the Bombers?
That is the home of the Bombers. Absolutely. Yeah. Went to Richland High School.
Richland High School.
Yep.
Now, you guys actually have like an atomic bomb blast as your school logo,
yeah, we
right?
do.
Richland
High
cool
Bombers.
That,
nuke them till they glow, huh? I like wearing my sweatshirt over there on the west side. You guys don't like that too much.
But. All right. Okay, so you're here at WSU. How did you choose Wazoo? There's no other choice, was there?
Yeah. Clearly not. Okay. Yeah, obviously not.
And you're studying to do what?
Oh, I'm a junior in political science.
Poli-sci, huh?
Absolutely.
Isn't that like the degree that you go to if you have nothing else going on in the world?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So am I going to be voting for Tom someday as president of the United States of America?
Ooh, I don't know. No? I doubt it.
No?
No, I think, you know, this election, we're going to see a new era in presidential politics.
Oh, really?
It's dawning as we speak.
Okay.
Maybe tomorrow.
And we'll get a chance to talk about that for sure. Yeah. So, okay, so Tom, you are a junior in poli-sci?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And what do you do when you're not going to class? What sports do you play?
Well, play a little dodgeball. I like to yeah, that's right. I like to jog quite a bit. But I'm not on any varsity teams or anything like that.
No other intramurals other than dodgeball?
Not recently.
No?
What about you, Scotty? What do you like to do in your free time?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Well, here's the question. What free time?
Right. Well, now you're answering my questions with questions.
I don't have free time.
That doesn't seem fair.
I don't have free time. That's the problem.
Oh, okay. Right.
I don't. I mean, yeah, actually, sure. I do have one thing, though. It's softball. Life. I have a website out there, www.softballteams.org.
Really?
And off of there, I host a couple of the web pages for my softball team. So Cougar Country, Mind Office, and Cougar Country. I have two Cougar Country teams. One's an intramural men's team. The other one is a co-ed summer league Pullman. Mm-hmm. And then my office is a summer league Pullman as well.
That's pretty cool.
So I pretty much play softball in the free time, and, you know, that's right around the corner. We're less than 40 days away from first pitch, I guess you could say. It's
all, right.
all exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I'm looking forward to. I do that, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a year. I don't know.
Damn, yeah.
No, cool. I do it a lot. Other than that, I mean, I pretty much work all the time.
Right. Yeah, me too. You know.
If I'm not working, I'm working. Yeah. And if I'm not working, I'm not working, then I'm playing softball or sleeping. But I usually only sleep on Sundays.
Yeah, right. Just once a week.
Once a week, that's all I need.
Refuel.
Yeah. Because I figure, you know, really you have a lot of time to sleep when you die. But
right. No, that's
so anyway, what's the last movie you saw in the theater?
Oh, okay. I think it was Darjeeling Unlimited. Or Darjeeling Limited. Did you see that?
I've never even heard of it.
Wes Anderson film. He did Royal Tenenbaums. No?
Isn't that a Christmas movie?
No, it's not.
Royal Tenenbaums?
It's not. Not really.
No?
I don't think.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Yeah, it was an indie film, I guess.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're at the right station for indies.
Really?
Yeah, this is an indie station, man.
All right.
We don't like that commercial stuff here.
Excellent.
You'd never hear Led Zeppelin, Linkin Park, or The Offspring on this station.
Okay.
You're only going to hear Jay Farr, Lemon Jello. No, actually, you might not even hear them. Jason Anderson. Huh? Jason Anderson.
Oh, okay.
You just heard Jason Anderson just before we came on the air. And then, of course, the favorite of the PES, the Reverend.
Yeah, who is that?
Reverend.
Who is that, by the way? I've never heard of him before.
Reverend Horton Heat?
No, I'm sorry.
I guess I didn't do as much research into you as I thought I did.
You know, yeah, I just...
Wow, the Reverend. Come on.
No,
everybody knows the Reverend.
I know a reverend, but I don't know the reverend.
The reverend. Reverend Horton. He has his music. Songs. See? I mean...
I heard the songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard the song. I just, you know, never heard of him before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So...
You've been following the elections, Scotty?
What elections?
The presidential elections, of course. I mean, what else? What other elections are there?
Well, no, I haven't. What's going on with them?
Oh, come on. Stop. You're messing with me now.
I would never pull your leg.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay,
you'll be voting for Hillary, right? Right, Scotty? I mean, you're more of a Hillary person.
Hillary.
Yeah. Miss Clinton. I'm sorry, Senator Clinton.
Senator Clinton.
Yeah.
No. I could definitely say not Hillary. Obama.
All right, so we're narrowing it down because there's only four other candidates, and they're all Republicans.
Yes, and unfortunately, my candidate's now out. So realistically, I'm not really...
Was that Dennis Kucinich?
No. And it wasn't Edwards either.
Oh, okay. How about Bill Richardson?
My candidate's out.
Joe Biden?
My candidate's out.
Was it Chris Dodd? Mike Gravel?
Wow.
I think you're
on the wrong side of the spectrum, my friend.
Wrong side of the aisle?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So to speak? All right.
Oh, yes. No, I'm definitely probably right of center. I'm right of center, maybe. I'm right of center.
Are you a neocon, Scotty?
Oh, I wouldn't.
A neoconservative?
I would like to think I'm more of a classic conservative, but honestly, I actually have a lot of libertarian tendencies. Sounds funny when you call it like that, but I guess in some ways to me, the difference between, say, a libertarian and a conservative in a lot of ways is the desire to enforce moral standards.
All right, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, legislate morality, you're not into that.
And see, that's the thing, though, is that it's like, well... I'm sometimes torn on certain issues. I'm all about freedom and whatnot, but at the same time, I believe in preserving the classic American structures that I don't think necessarily need to be torn down.
You mean like family structures? Is that what you're talking about?
Family structures, the You know, I wouldn't consider the fact that we have One Nation Under God and the words under God or in God we trust on our money as being moral.
Okay.
In any way, shape, or form, but I think that's definitely reference to our beginnings. I mean, mm-hmm. we weren't formed as a theocracy, or we weren't formed as a theocracy. We weren't formed as as an atheist government either. I mean, there was nothing atheist about the people who started the country.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that wiping off every reference of God everywhere is necessarily the right thing to do. I think that
danger that anytime soon. I mean, unless it comes through the courts, but yeah.
But it's, I mean, I think we're getting, I think we've gone a long way down the road.
I
think we've gone a hell of a long way down the road. I mean, let me ask you a question. You were in elementary school in, don't tell me, 1994.
Yes.
1 year. 1 year, you were in 1994, yes. You were in elementary school.
Yep.
Right around December 24th, 23rd, 22nd, 20th, whatever, right in that little area of time, did you go on Christmas break or winter break? Christmas tree in the classroom?
Right.
Did you actually have a Christmas party? Were you allowed, did your teacher talk Christmas?
I actually don't remember. I think so. I mean, we did. But I think it was more of a generic Christmas. I mean, it's like a commercial holiday, you know, on some level, because
there's a lot of commercial. There's a lot of symbolism I think the commercial community has glommed onto those and used those in order to, forth their.
I don't know any atheists that don't celebrate Christmas. You know, like I don't. I mean, it's just a commercial. It's a commercial holiday. It seems like for some portion of America at least. I know some people still feel like it's a religious. Observance, but what do you think? I mean,
you have the religious portion of it. You also have the commercial portion. I mean, but I think there's a point at which all of those areas cross, and you have like a area that sort of makes it the American holiday, the way the Americans practice the tradition of celebrating Christmas.
Right.
It's the popular one that they play on TBS or TNT for 24 straight at Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ralphie wants a little Red Ryder BB gun, and everything about that era is Christmas-related. You got Christmas trees, you got, you know, Santa Claus in the mall, which, you know, Santa Claus and the elves and all these kinds of symbols are really becoming less Christmas symbols, and they're being transformed into a holiday or a winter symbol.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me just ask you. So, I mean, with bearing those kind of views in mind, if Washington could actually vote in the, you know, in primaries tomorrow, I think I feel a little bit left out, to be honest, because I think our primaries aren't until. It seems like almost till after the general election, you know, we're voting in December, you know, for primary. No, I'm only joking, but it seems like we're left out. But if we could vote in Super Tuesday, who do you think you'd vote for out of the current field of six candidates?
Well, if our friend Tom Forbes is listening right now, I'm sure he'd want me. He's probably going right now, Huckabee, 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 and I can't say that I'd vote for Huckabee. You know, I'm sort of torn in some ways. I want to see a Republican stay in the White House.
Okay.
I don't want to see a Democrat go into the White House.
And
I think the Democrats have the... Gosh. You know, this could... I mean, I could sit here and spend an hour talking about reasons why I don't even want certain Republicans in the White House.
Yeah.
The problem is we've gone too far away from conservative values and libertarian values. We've gone too far away, and everything's about the government controlling this and the government controlling that, and our freedoms and securities, our freedoms and liberties are being eroded away in the name of the Patriot Act or in the name of security.
Yeah.
The Real ID Act is one that even the state of Washington has a pilot program in order to get a special driver's license that holds biometric information. It's like, okay, well, where's this information stored? Who has control of this database? Let's say I just decided, okay, I don't want to be on this program anymore.
So you're saying you're voting for Ron Paul?
Oh, I didn't say that at all.
Yeah.
I didn't say who I was voting for yet.
Right.
No, Ron really Paul would be great in a lot of ways. He has one issue though that I don't agree with. I don't think that in our, because of where we're sitting with the war currently, I don't think that immediately pulling out the minute he becomes president would be a prudent thing. I think that would be very hurtful to the whole entire process. I understand where he's coming from, and I don't disagree with him necessarily, but I don't agree with the idea of immediately going into pulling out. I mean, even Hillary and Obama recognized you can't just walk in there and that day start withdrawing all the troops.
I can respect that. So we're narrowing it down now because we've eliminated Huckabee, Ron Paul, Hillary, and Obama. So there's only two more choices. So is it going to be Romney or McCain?
Okay, well, let me help you narrow down some more then.
Oh, okay.
The problem with Romney is he may not be as electable if he has to go up against Obama.
That's no question. Yeah.
I think realistically, the only option we're going to have somebody electable, like, I mean, if Hillary gets the nod, I think Romney would stand a heck of a chance.
Do you really think so?
Oh, yeah. Against Hillary, yes.
The wave of, the Republicans have had a lot of bad press over the last 8 years. Just look at what happened
over the last 2 centuries.
Okay, just look at what happened in the 2006, the Senate and House elections.
Why did the Democrats say they swept? Because they had the anti-war agenda. And what have they done since they've gotten into office? Zero to go on this anti-war agenda. Now, I think that most voters have such a short-term memory when it comes to things like that, that they'll continuously re-elect certain people that should not be continuously re-elected. The bottom line is that they were swept in under this idea that, well, we're going to change the war. We're going to change we're going to put a halt to what George Bush does, and we're going to do all these great things. And it was like a statement of they spun it as a statement of America saying, we are done with George Bush, we're done with the war, we're going to go a new course. People have taken office, nothing really has changed at all as far as that kind of stuff goes. They haven't done anything they've set in there to do. Could they have? Sure, you'd think so, but they haven't done anything. Why not? Because they don't want to change any more than the Republicans are going to change anything. And this is where the problem comes in. You have all these Democrats in there. You have all these Republicans in there. And neither of them are really doing a heck of a lot to lead our country one way or the other. If the Democrats had their way and they could lead the country in a certain way, I think we'd go far too socialist. I think we'd go far too left. And that's the problem. We're too socialist as it is, and that's the biggest problem. I think that John McCain is not going to get us any less socialist. I don't necessarily think he's going to get us a whole bunch more socialist, but I don't think he's going to get us any less socialist.
Well, he's got some pretty strong libertarian credentials.
The problem, though, with John McCain is there's many times where he has gone away from the Republican Party. And he has...
I would suggest that's not a problem. I mean, maybe that's what we need more of, is more bipartisanship, things that people working together and actually getting things done that a lot of, a majority of people can agree on.
Illegal immigration.
Well, didn't work, but...
So how should we take care of the illegal immigrants? Should we allow amnesty? Should we give them a pathway to citizenship, as is a popular way of saying things? Should we allow them to stay for a certain period of time and then have them go back home and say, hey, get in line like the rest of everybody else does?
Well,
what do we need to do about illegal immigration?
I think that McCain actually has the strongest position out of anybody on illegal immigration, even though more right Republicans are fond of referring to it as amnesty. They do have the people that would, in order to apply for the Z visa, which is the visa that would be able, that would allow them to stay in the country and put them on a path to citizenship. In order to apply for that, legal aliens would have to pay a fine, and also they'd have to be, there's an estimated 14 million in the country, 2 million of which have committed crimes, and they would be not eligible for the Z visa. And so I think, it's a logistical impossibility to move 14 million people back, to where they came from. You just can't do it.
And, it's interesting, too.
And I know some people might disagree with that, but it seems like Senator McCain and his his legislation on immigration seems the most sensible. And he did that in a bipartisan fashion. Didn't pass, but it seems like that was the most sensible. And I hope that if he is elected, he'll revisit that legislation.
What should the No Child Left Behind Act bipartisan?
You know, you're talking to the wrong guy on that one, Scotty. I'm not familiar with the act and its intricacies.
Okay. I was just curious.
It was, you know, Senator Kennedy and President Bush.
So bipartisanship is better than doing the right thing? I'm asking.
I didn't say that.
I'm asking.
I didn't say that.
But you seem to be a big fan of bipartisanship, right?
Yes.
Okay, so if bipartisanship leads you away from the right thing, but it's bipartisan, is that good?
Of course not. What kind of a question is that, Scotty? No one would say yes to that. Yeah, come on.
Hey, we're trying to be bipartisan here, right?
What? I guess.
I guess the point is this, is that if being bipartisan means that you're going to move away from the right side of things, and you're going to go towards the left side of things or to the central side of things, and you're going to allow your country to be more socialist. Is that the right thing to do? But it's bipartisan.
You know, sometimes you have to make compromises, you know, in life. But
Are there times when it's good not to make a compromise, where it's good to make a stand?
Of course, but not every time. I mean, you have this culture of this infighting, you know, in the Senate and the House. And
what issues would you argue you cannot make concessions on, that it would be okay to stand your ground and not find the middle ground and not concede certain things?
Well, there are some things that don't lend themselves to compromise, like the whole entire issue of abortion, which I don't think we should even talk about. I mean, there's a stark, you know, separate, there's a gulf of difference between the two positions, and but it doesn't seem like that's not an issue that would lend itself to compromise.
You know what Ronald Reagan said about abortion?
I don't.
I know we're not going to talk about it, but I just want to tell you. Ronald Reagan once said that the only people for abortion have already been born. asking you the ones who are about to be aborted if they'd be for it. Right. I bet they wouldn't.
Hmm. Anyway. It's an interesting notion.
Anyway. Okay, so we're not talking about abortion, so I'll stop right there because I have one more thing to say, but I won't say it.
That's fine.
So, abortion's one, you're saying it's okay to not find a middle ground,
or I didn't say it was okay. I said it wouldn't lend itself to compromise.
Sure, but I'm trying to say what things are okay to not find a middle ground on. What kind of issue can you think of that if you are coming up on it on one side, it's okay to fight tooth and nail to win?
I'd actually be interested in hearing your answer to that question, Scotty. What do you think?
What issue would be okay to do that with?
Yeah,
illegal immigration.
All right.
I think when there's a certain right and a certain wrong, and in this case, illegally entering the country by any means is wrong. So by us saying, oh, it's going to be okay in certain situations, if you can do it and we don't catch you, wink, wink, we'll let you stay. It's like a game.
We'll make it a game,
cops and robbers. If you can make it past Red Rover, there we go. We'll get all our border agents holding hands, the whole entire border, all the way around the whole United States of America. And you can come running in, and it's like a Red Rover. If you break through the chain, you get a stay, you'll get a path to citizenship. Now, you'll have to pay a little fine, you'll get a slap on the wrist, and you'll be told, shame on you, but here's your path to citizenship. And then what we need to do is we need to allow people in every other country in the world the same abilities. They should be able to come here illegally. Mm-hmm. They should be able to pay a small fine to get a path to citizenship just like anybody else.
I think you should send that in to your congressman, Scotty, because that sounds like a terrific idea. I think the Red Rover bill would go far, I think, in the House. Well, I'm interested to hear your non-sarcastic solution to the immigration problem. But what are you going to do? Are you going to drive around in vans and search house to house for, you know, people that aren't here legally? Are you going to go verify all their documents and their social security cards? Are you just going to go tearing through, you know, people that have been here for 30 years and tell them to leave? I mean, we'll have an enormous labor shortfall. I mean, it seems like we need
we do.
Okay, No.
Yes, you said the word I was waiting to hear.
Let's not.
We have to have illegal immigrants for labor because we have zero unemployment currently. We have so many people that have so many jobs unfilled that we have to have people coming into the country illegally.
Let's not chase that red herring, but how about let's hear your actual plan for dealing with illegal immigration.
My plan, I'm not the one running for government, for president.
Yet. But I'd still be interested to hear, you know, what you would do if you were running for government.
Well, let's see here. Since I don't have a whole bunch of advisors telling me what to and not to say, here's what my gut feelings are.
Okay.
First off, I mean, there's a whole bunch of problems. First off, we allow this to happen. We knowingly allow this to happen. Okay, we enable this to happen. We become a society of enabling this kind of stuff to happen. The way you stop it is you have to cut it off at the top, not the bottom. What we're trying to do, putting up a fence or finding the one guy who did something and sending him back, we're not doing anything to stop the problem because it's sort of like with drug dealers. You can get the user, or you could get the low-level distributor, or the higher, and you keep on going until you get to the as high as you can get. You cut that one off, and you've done a whole chain reaction of things. And I think what we do is we enable illegal immigration. And by enabling it, what I'm saying is that we have certain laws on the books mm-hmm. that favor the what I guess what it is that we enable and we encourage. The idea of people wanting to break the law. Mm-hmm. We have farmers who are willing to hire people knowing that yeah. they're not citizens. Now, should we go around penalizing all of our farmers and putting them out of business? I don't think that'd be good either. But the problem is we have to do something. We have some cities that are more or less amnesty cities. We've had some cities that, like, say, Home Depot, there is this culture of people, and it's not necessarily illegal immigrants, but it's just, but they do go to these kinds of places where they'll go and they'll hang out more or less at a Home Depot looking for somebody who's looking for a day labor, somebody who's looking, and some cities have actually gone to the point where they're making Home Depot or other big places like that put in outdoor bathrooms and that kind of stuff for those people, even though Home Depot isn't bringing those people in, they're just gathering in the parking lot. Now, all of a sudden, Home Depot has to do something in order to enable this kind of behavior to continue. But now, like
surely, as a libertarian, you're in favor of federalism and local governments and this kind of thing. You know, being able for the city to decide that kind of thing. Seems like that you'd be in favor of that as a libertarian.
But the problem is this.
Okay. Lay it on me, Scott.
The government is pushing views on private businesses, on private people.
They are elected to do that.
They're elected to do that.
See, that's what governments do. They make laws that, you know, that they're elected by voting. You know, I don't understand. It seems like the root problem would be...
So as long as somebody's elected, they could do what they want. Is that not what you said? If they're elected, it's okay that they do what they do, even though it goes against...
To represent... You know, the people, and if that's what the people want.
So you think the people who elected them, knowingly elected them, wanting to have to make businesses like Home Depot put in bathrooms?
If they didn't, they should elect someone else that does not favor those policies.
But the problem is that when you elect people, you only have so many choices, right? And secondly, when you elect somebody, let's take a look at the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. County.
Okay.
Okay. You have, what, 9 positions on the city council? 5 of them are pretty much inside of the liberal area of Seattle, and 4 of them are out in the county. The people who live out in the county are stuck being represented by the people who are both inside the city and outside the city. Those people who are inside the city have a whole bunch of different views than those who are in the rural part of King County. Those people in the city want to push their values and their views on those people who live in the county. Now, those people in the county have elected people to represent them. However, they are under the control of people outside of their area that they cannot do anything about. So you have a population of people that have no choice but to be controlled by a different population of people.
Well, that's the problem of districting. I mean, what are you going to do? And you go through and, you know, divide up the districts. And so, I mean, it seems like where would you cut the boundaries? And it'd be a mess. But
precisely.
Yeah.
It is a problem. But the point is that to say it's okay because, well, the people elected them, and if they didn't like it, they could elect somebody else. The people in rural Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. County could re-elect somebody else or could choose somebody else. But guess what? They've already chosen usually the Republican or the conservative type of guy. They can't choose anybody else. They're stuck. So now they get policies pushed on them that they have no control over.
You know, that's...
They they have no re-
That's the fundamentals of democracy. It's majority rules. You know, like, I don't.
But do we live in a democracy?
A representative democracy.
We live in a representative democracy.
Democratic Republic.
Okay. So we live in a democratic republic. Right.
Right.
Good. So it's okay, but the majority rules.
That's what we're founded on, Scotty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's, I mean, I don't. Are we not? I mean, would you not agree with that statement? He's thinking about it.
I don't.
You would not call the United States of America a democratic republic.
I wouldn't call them. No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
No.
We're at an impasse. I think yes. Should we talk about Super Tuesday now?
No.
Okay.
No, actually, what we need to do, I'll get back to that in a second. I think that I think what our country was founded on and what we view it as today are different.
Okay.
I don't think we were founded to be a true democracy.
Yeah, right. A democratic republic is not a true democracy.
Right.
Yes. So I agree.
But most people, when they talk about America, democracy, majority rules, I don't see that's the problem, though. I don't think that that's what was meant when the country was developed, when it was being created. I don't think that the founders were like, yeah, we want every single person to have a vote on every single issue and allow a more majority rules. And even so, I would argue if it was truly a majority rule situation, that in some cases you would have people, like right now, you have, I don't know, how many people that normally vote in certain elections? I mean, it's not a majority of the country that vote, right?
Right.
It's, usually, it's actually sort of a minority of people.
In a presidential cycle, it's usually about 50% or somewhere around that. You know, it's 50 to 60% in a usual presidential election.
50 to 60% of the people in the United States vote.
You know, that's
in
a choice.
Presidential election.
That's well, of eligible voters.
Of eligible. So really, of eligible voters, not even all of them vote, and not everybody in America is an eligible voter.
That's right.
So less than the majority of the country votes on a particular person.
You know, that's
and
a choice they've chosen to make.
But,
yeah, that's a choice.
But no, let me
okay.
Let me keep going.
No,
so less than the majority of the people vote. And less than the majority, typically, of people who can vote, and less than the majority of the people who can vote, that vote for a particular candidate. So when you keep on narrowing this down, realistically, when somebody gets, say, 50 million votes for president, and you got 300 million people in the country, they got 1/6 of the votes, which is far less than the majority. To say majority rules, what is he ruling? He's ruling on the votes of 50,000 people, not the true majority of
the country. So we should make voting mandatory and give the vote to babies? Is that
By
what you're trying to say?
By all means, yeah. No. Heck no.
Yeah.
But I think what we should do is listen to the Reverend Horton Heat.
Oh, what?
The Reverend Horton Heat. And we're back. Tom and Scotty in the office.
Still have no idea who this Reverend guy is, but that's okay. We'll let it go. Scotty, you never answered the question. So is it going to be McCain or Romney on Super Tuesday if you could vote?
Well, the person I would vote for would be... Okay?
No.
Did my mic cut out on me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't say it again. So I've already said it once.
So
my mic must have cut out.
All right, you don't like McCain and immigration, but you think that Romney is not as electable as McCain. So
who said that?
You did.
When?
I said
that he's not electable.
You said he's not as electable
as McCain.
In so many words, you said that.
You're putting words into my mouth.
I am not.
Obviously.
Play the tape.
I don't have no tape.
Okay, well, then don't play it. But so is it going to be McCain or Romney? You don't want to choose. Why not? You can't identify with them, or
no? I think. I think that my candidate's gone. I have no... Honestly,
so you wouldn't vote at all?
My candidate's gone.
So you wouldn't vote at all? You'd be...
My thinking is that I'll vote when it becomes the presidential election.
Okay.
And I'll let it known then. And I will say that I'll be voting for the Republican candidate.
Okay, so it's whoever happens to be. So it could be. It's either going to be McCain or Romney at this point, and
probably.
It looks like it's probably going to be McCain,
unless Huckabee pulls a Giants.
Huckabee is gone. I mean, he can't. There's no way he can possibly make it. I'm sorry to tell you that, Scott. You look horrified. You look horrified, but he's done. He's finished.
Stick a fork in him?
I think so, yeah. At this point, all he's doing is taking votes away from Romney, which is fine with me as a McCain guy. But
I thought you were an Obama guy. Did you not added a something for Obama to your Facebook profile?
I think a McCain-Obama ticket would be amazing. I know it will never happen.
That's glossed over that question.
That's wishful thinking. I know.
You can't be like this right yet. You've got to answer everything I say and get more evasive later on after
whatever.
You learn the system.
You haven't even answered the question I've been trying to get out of you for the last half an hour.
Wait, which question was that?
Who you'd vote for on Super Tuesday?
The Republican.
All right.
I'm sorry. You know, I'd vote for Fred Thompson. I'll write him in.
How about
I'll write in Fred Thompson? That will make me feel good.
That will, okay. I mean, fair enough.
That's my compromise.
Are you in a caucus? Did you know that Washington State has caucuses?
What did you call me? Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, I think, I don't know, you don't read Pelusatix.com, I'm sure, but you should. Pelusatix.com.
Pelusatix?
Pelusatix.com.
The politics of the Palouse?
Yes, as a matter of fact. You figured
out
why?
Do we have a lot of politics?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We have our local governments. We have our county government.
Yeah,
we have
I'm familiar with the county structure, but I just picture a bunch of guys, you know, sitting in a room somewhere. Just like,
well, they have a $10.5 million bond issue coming up that there's been a lot of input on real recently. There's a lot of contentious issues going on around the county because people want to develop and build, and there's a lot of people who don't want people to develop and build.
Yeah.
But that's sort of getting beyond Super Tuesday. I know you're really excited about Super Tuesday, and we really should try to focus on that to make you a happy man.
I am excited. I'm disappointed that you're not excited.
I'm hugely excited for Fred Thompson.
Yeah, but he's out of the race. He's no longer running.
I know. So, you know,
so you're not excited.
It's like Christmas, right? You know, you're all excited about it until you open up all your gifts and you realize you've opened them all up and that one that you really wanted isn't there. You know, you could have got every other gift you wanted, but that one you really, 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 really wanted, you don't get it, and you're disappointed with your haul. I really, 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 really wanted Fred Thompson. I don't get him. I don't even get a chance to vote on him. I'm disappointed.
Well,
I'm sad.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah.
You know, so now to me, the primary's over with. My primary guy lost.
Damn.
It's like the
kind of sad.
You know, it's like the NCAA tournament for basketball, right? It's a lot of fun to watch while the Cougs are in it, but as soon as the Cougs are done, I could really care less until it gets to the final game, and then you finally see who won and see how well you did on your bracket.
Yeah.
But up until then, it was fun. And then after that, it's just academic. And right now, the Super Tuesday, to me, is more academic than anything. It's going to sort of narrow down the field a little bit more. Now, if I had my choice between the two, if I had to choose between those two guys, and my vote was the deciding factor. Everybody was tied all the way across the board, and the guy I wrote my name, his name in on for, is the guy who wins, period, no matter what. And if I vote for him, he will, no matter what, serve the United States, no matter what capacity things are in. Okay? That, to me, would be the chance for me to vote for Ronald Reagan. But I don't have that kind of power.
He's dead, Scotty. He's dead.
I said whoever I vote for would run no matter what, right?
I'm surprised because Ronald Reagan's immigration policy was one of amnesty.
It sure was, but you know what?
What's that?
I am doing this whole bipartisan compromise thingy. I'm compromising.
You're trying it out.
I'm compromising on that one issue that Reagan had everything else. Do you know what he did to the metric board? Ronald Reagan slashed the metric board to nothing, and thank goodness.
I thought you said that was the one issue you could not compromise on, immigration.
I said that.
You did say that, actually.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
So now you're saying that you would compromise it on it.
I wouldn't compromise on it. But I'm not going to not vote for Reagan because he did.
That's a subtle position worthy of any presidential candidate, Scotty.
Did you like that?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
So no, I'm not going to kill the whole entire candidacy over a single issue. You asked me what issues.
Right,
Can you, as a politician, make a line, draw it in the sand, and say, I'm not crossing this line no matter what? And that's one of them. John McCain has made his line, and he's obviously on the other side of it.
Yeah.
But I am not going to base my whole entire vote on one issue, no matter what.
Right.
If John McCain is pro-life or pro-choice, that's not going to be make or break for me.
Okay. You're going to look at the whole range of issues. It's probably a good idea.
I am totally going to look at the whole range. Because the bottom line to me is it's not what he does on this issue or it's not what he does on that issue. I think it's the overall ideology of the person.
So how do you feel about McCain's overall ideology? You said that you will be voting for the Republican nominee for president, and it looks likely that it will be McCain. So how do you feel about his overall ideology?
Well, he's definitely better than Obama. He's definitely better than Hillary. He's incrementally better than 50%. But I don't think if he's better than the alternative, but he's not my choice. I okay. think that...
And that's because of immigration and because of his work across the aisle.
And I don't have a problem with the fact that he works across the aisle. It's just that the decisions and the compromises that are made, I don't think are necessarily always the best.
I think on a conservative
ideology, on a libertarian ideology. I would like to... I mean, if I had my choice, I would vote for somebody who is for low taxes and, more importantly, low spending.
It sounds like McCain's your guy. He's the number one pork cutter in the Senate.
And that's, once again, one issue, though.
That is one issue. He's also, for low taxes.
And that's, and low taxes are great and everything like that, but there's more than just one issue. There's the whole entire thing. And I would prefer, honestly, Ron Paul in a lot of ways would be, he has a lot of the issues I like.
Yeah.
But he's still not right up there either. And this is where the problem of my libertarian tendencies and my conservative philosophies sometimes will clash once I get to the very top.
Yeah.
Because I have that problem where I want to have that guy who's going to ensure my liberties are intact, that my privacy is intact, but then I think sometimes with your libertarians you lose some of the things that make America what America was with the thoughts and the processes of the founding fathers. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think maybe I'm wrong about some of the libertarian points of view, but to me, libertarians would be on the moral issues, on the on any kind of legislation that would stop people from having on legislation that would stop people from doing certain activities. I think that as a libertarian, you're going to be going, no, that's not really the role of the government to be doing that kind of thing. I'm really torn. There's a period of time where, I thought, hey, having drugs being totally legal would be a great thing because that, it's the most libertarian thing to do. Having laws against personal freedoms to choose to do whatever you want, however you want, go against some of my beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then you have the whole slippery slope. I'm like, well, if I find it's okay and permissible to outlaw certain things, then why can't...
Where do you draw the line?
Where do I draw the line? What about seatbelts?
Yeah. That's...
People die left and right with seatbelts, without wearing seatbelts. So by putting a law in effect that says you have to wear seatbelts, we're saving lives.
Yeah.
And people have overdoses and their lives can get totally messed up if they become heavy, hardcore drug users.
Yeah.
So by... saying you can't do that, we are protecting people's lives. But is that the role of the government? Yes or no?
Yeah. But
that's a question I can't necessarily answer.
I think that dichotomy that you bring up with the seatbelts and drug use is a very good one because seatbelts is something that, almost everybody agrees with, it seems like. That seems like a very reasonable, it's low cost, it's something that we can enforce easily. And it does save lives. You're right.
But I'm totally against it.
I'm glad you brought it up.
I'm totally against it.
Yeah.
100% against it.
Yeah.
Not because I wear mine usually.
Yeah.
I think it's a smart thing to do. I can tell you right now that in the last couple years, there's been a lot of people that could have been saved if they'd been wearing seatbelts here in Whitman County alone.
Yeah.
And I know this for a fact. But the problem is that I don't think that it's up to the government to force somebody to wear their seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I get torn is that should it be up to the government to stop people from participating and taking certain drugs or certain alcohols, or
you're right. It's a tricky,
certain things,
tricky subject.
What about sexual relations with people of certain ages,
mm-hmm.
or you know, all sorts of other things like that? Where, you know, at what point of age of consent? Where does that come in? Here we say, and on one hand we say, well, a 17-year-old's still a juvenile, but on the other hand, we charge them as an adult.
Yeah.
You know, we allow them to be emancipated. I mean, it's like, at what point does the 15, what was it, 12, 13, 14-year-old, I can't remember, I know he's early teens, over in the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. County, was a Jehovah's Witness and said, I don't want a blood transfusion that will, not may, not might, but will save my life. I don't want it. And he died.
Yeah.
And the courts upheld his position, even though his parents said, no, make him have this blood transfusion. I'm his mom.
Yeah.
I want him to have it.
Yeah.
The court sided with the kid and the legal guardian, saying, no, he doesn't have to have it.
Let me ask you this. I got about 10 minutes left before I got to. I know. You look sad. I'm sorry.
I am.
I got to ask you, you know, with Fred Thompson out of the race, will you be tuning into the Super Tuesday and rooting for Hillary? Now, not because you like her, but because...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because
yeah.
if she ends up with a Democratic nomination, it seems like... I mean, broadly speaking, it seems like that she is the least electable out of the two Democratic nominees. So what do you think? Will you be rooting for Hillary to take those big states on Super Tuesday?
Never really thought about that one or the other. Never really pondered the question that I'd be rooting for a Democrat to win. I guess it would be sort of like in football... When right. you root for a team that you wouldn't normally root for to win, because by them winning, that means you get to go to the Rose Bowl.
Exactly.
It's
yeah.
like we don't hold the destiny of ourselves in our own hands.
It's a good analogy.
Now, I don't know if I believe that we have to have Hillary run. You know, and I guess there is the X factor, and that is the simple fact that would having Hillary running as a presidential candidate... mobilize certain segments of the population to vote that have never voted before, only to have a female as president, to have the first female president.
Yeah.
If that happened, would that be enough of a mobilization to
I would
push her over the top?
I would suggest that mobilization would be countered, if not, you know, overrun by even larger mobilization of people that really, really, really don't like Senator Clinton. I mean, there's a lot of people that, I mean, even Democrats will say, I will not vote for her. She's just a very polarizing figure.
Okay, so what do you like about Obama?
What do I like about Obama?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certain things I certainly admire about Obama, but I think one of the his message of hope and change is a very good message. It resonates with a lot of people. But one of the things about Obama is he has a very limited experience, and his claims are not verifiable on his record. I mean, he can have some claims of bipartisanship, but they pale in comparison to Senator McCain's, just because strictly on the basis of, you know, the length of record and the time he's held in legislative positions. So the problem with Obama is that not... you know, the basic outlines of his message, but the fact that not only can it not be corroborated by his record, he also has pretty vague plans as far as, you know, what he's planning to do in a number of policy areas. What do you think about Obama, Scotty? I know you don't like him, but why exactly do you not like him, besides, the, you know, being... on the opposite end of every single issue.
Well,
yeah.
If being on the opposite side of the issues isn't enough, I don't know.
No, I'm only joking. What in specific do you not like about him? His policy on Iraq, you probably don't agree with.
No, I don't agree with the policies on Iraq. I don't agree with the policies on immigration. I don't agree with the
healthcare.
Oh, definitely not. That's, you know, that actually is one of the biggest ones to me.
Really?
In this election. And the reason why I say that is
it's a lot of people.
I say that is because that is the difference between making this country hugely socialist and only partially socialist.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to take that step to become hugely socialist. I think once we open up a door of socialism, we don't close it.
Mm-hmm.
It only gets worse. and worse and worse and worse. And I think healthcare would be one of those ones that once we open that door, we will be, it will put us over the socialist edge.
So, just like immigration, I know we've talked about healthcare on the program before, but healthcare, what would you specifically do? Because you pay health insurance, right, Scotty?
I have it through work.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And there was a period of time where I paid it on my own.
In some way, you're subsidizing healthcare for the segments of the population that don't have it.
Right.
So how do you feel about that? I mean, right? That doesn't seem right to me. And so do you have any, ideas about how you would go about trying to remedy that?
First off,
I'm not defending either Obama or Senator Clinton's positions.
I guess first
on that.
Off, the question is healthcare.
First
off, the question is healthcare a right or is it a privilege, or is it something that is a nice to have?
Yeah.
Because if healthcare is a right, then is shelter not a right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? I mean, is being able to eat a right? I mean, if healthcare is a right, like some people are actually trying to argue, that we have the greatest country on earth, that we have this hugely rich country, yet we don't give healthcare to everybody like some of these other countries do.
Yeah. Well, we're one of the only,
but why?
Only Western, democracies that doesn't. I mean, I think maybe the only.
So then we go to...
I'm not suggesting that, that makes it right, but I'm just throwing that in there. Yeah.
So then if healthcare is a right, mm-hmm. which is some argue it's a basic human need.
Right.
I think there are more basic human needs that we don't give to every single person in the country.
And you'd be in favor of doing that.
I would totally be against it. So my thing is, if we're not going to go out of our way to give everybody a house or an apartment to live in, mm-hmm. period.
Yeah.
There are people on the streets who freeze to death during cold snaps.
Yeah.
There are people who have no food on a daily basis. They have to beg for their food. They have to dig through garbage cans. They have to eat whatever they can eat. Don't you think that food is much more of a basic human necessity that we don't mandate as a right and health mm-hmm. over healthcare?
So it sounds like what you're suggesting is that we should... repeal making it necessary for hospitals to treat people regardless of their insurance.
I don't know how you got that out of what I just said.
Well, I mean, it's because it seems like, you're saying that there are other basic rights we don't cover, and you're not in favor of covering those rights, so therefore, you would not be in favor of covering healthcare for everybody.
I don't think that we... I would have to say that I think that there is good to be had about... emergency care mm-hmm. and not shutting somebody out because they have no insurance, period.
Yeah.
There are certain times, I believe in helping somebody when they're down.
Mm-hmm. Which you're actually doing through your healthcare. I mean, maybe your employer is doing it, but you're subsidizing in after a fashion.
I believe in helping a man when he's down. I uh-huh. believe in, if
well, you're doing it right now through your employer's healthcare.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what you're doing.
Well, I'm glad.
That's good.
I'm patting myself on the back.
It's very admirable. Not that you had a choice, but it's very admirable indeed.
So I'm not against the idea that, somebody is in need of immediate health care that they can go and get it.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever they're able to pay, they're able to pay. The question is, there's health care is such a huge issue that, how do you quote unquote fix it? Well, is it truly broken? Well, yeah, if there's probably some problems with it. Is it broken? I don't believe it's broken. Mm-hmm. Is there problems? Yeah, there's probably problems. Should it cost?
There's always problems.
Should it cost as much money as it does for somebody to go visit a doctor for a typical checkup? Should it cost as much money as it does to get a set of x-rays? Should it cost as much money as it does to go under the knife or something?
Mm-hmm.
If you think about a similar operation on a animal that gets similar kinds of treatments and similar kind of meds is a heck of a lot cheaper on the animal. Why is it more expensive on the human? Is it because the supply and demand that they can demand it because we want it that bad? Or are there other market forces mm-hmm. that aren't true market forces but are forces all the same that are causing costs to be higher? Is it does it cost more for an anesthesiologist to work because the possible potential problems that can come out of it
mm-hmm.
and the possible liabilities have to be covered in some sort of way, and usually that might be through costs of insurance that, you know, obviously he's not going to pay the insurance on his own. He is going to make that insurance come out of our pockets. I mean, every real cost gets passed on to the end consumer. It's pretty
and
rare.
So, like I've been saying, and what's going on right now is not only are your costs, I mean, are you paying for your insurance? Those costs are being passed on to you, the consumer. But sure. Also, you know, the cost of people that don't have health care right now.
But you know, and one thing I look at is, let's say I just recently had an operation.
Yeah.
And you look at, okay, well, I went to this one doctor because he participates in this health care plan that my insurance company offers, and the doctor is just write off certain portions of the cost. Like, he says, okay, it costs X number of dollars to do this. And the insurance company's like, well, since you work with us, this is all we're going to allow you to charge, and it's a smaller amount. So the difference between what the doctor charges and what the insurance company does, that totally gets written off. Well, the question is, how is he able to do that unless the costs are way over being overcharged in a lot of other areas because they're able to recoup those at certain times going through certain people? It's like, it just seems sort of funny mm-hmm. that the same service from the same guy can cost different amounts of money depending who you are.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of problems with the system. But I mean,
there's definitely areas that could be
it sounds like
that
maybe,
could be worked on, but to call the system broken, to say that it's a horrible system because other places have it for free. Well, you sit here and talk about
I actually didn't say that.
Tom. I mean you, the general people. I just recently had a debate a little bit with somebody who's trying mm-hmm. to claim that the system in Holland is so much better because when they were over there recently, they were. You know, they had a choice of three doctors to be assigned to,
right.
And that, you know, they lived in a city of 2 million people, and, you know, granted, not all the hospitals have all these testing pieces of equipment and stuff. You might have to travel on their beautiful mass transit system that's put in place to go to the city center in order to get some of these services that Pullman Regional Hospital would offer. And my argument was, so it's a good thing that people who live in Pullman are going to have to travel to Spokane or Lewiston or every time we need to get some sort of procedure? Is that good? I mean, oh, I need an x-ray. Oh, well, geez. You know, in order to cut down healthcare costs under our socialized system, we're going to centralize certain testing equipment. So we're not going to have MRIs or we're not going to have x-ray machines or whatever.
You have to ration care. I mean, that's...
Is that good care? To me, that's not good care. To me, good care is I can go to Pullman Regional Hospital in my community and get pieces and get a fair amount of care. Now, granted, I'm going to realize that there are certain things that are very, very, very expensive to buy and maintain and operate that you need a larger population base, just like with everything in Pullman. You can't support a 20,000 or 50,000 square foot Nordstrom's in Pullman.
Yeah.
There's not that big of a shopping base for a Nordstrom's alone.
That's a good analogy.
And the same kind of thing with certain hospital equipment. You just don't have a population coming in to use that equipment. So you do centralize certain things like that. But there's a lot of stuff that you don't have to do that with. But to say, well, in order to help ration or rate, you know, to have these rations of healthcare in order that everybody can have it. I just, you know, and then the same person also tries to argue that, well, the Canada system, blah, 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 Canada. And I'm like, okay, well, how about this?
Yeah.
What about all those pregnant women from Canada who are coming down to America to get some of this prenatal care and the pregnancy stuff done? And if the Canada system is so good, why would anybody come to America for any kind of health care coverage?
Well, I have one quick comment. As Romney, Governor Romney, Massachusetts, when he was governor of Massachusetts, he put into place a system of mandated
care. He did. Care.
And how do you feel about that? I mean, that's something that you also do not like. I mean, and he's one of the most, you know, he is the Reagan conservative running.
Well, he's the closest to Reagan
conservative. Yeah, he wants running. To be the Reagan conservative running anyway.
But he's definitely not.
Okay. Well, but how do you feel about his program? Have you looked into it at all?
My understanding was he also had, like, gay marriage under his tutelage up there, or civil unions or something like that going on up there. Massachusetts is not really known to be a very conservative state to begin with.
Not
the
exactly.
The fact that he won an election up there makes you think that he doesn't have just conservative tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe now that he's away from there, he's starting to preach some of these, and maybe that was his compromise in order to get up there and everything like that. But unfortunately, you know, I know we're hitting at that hour that, you know, we top of the hour, Tom has to get running and all that kind of stuff. And I really, oh man.
Yeah, we're having a good talk today.
And could keep going for a while longer. But anyway, I guess next Monday you'll be back again. And
absolutely.
We'll have some more fun with it. But in the meantime, the favorite of the PES, the Reverend Horton Heat. You're listening to the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM, broadcasting live from the dark, damp dungeons of Smith Gym. You've got Scotty at 1 o'clock. Reach us on the telephone at 335-2207, on the web at www.kzuu.org, and on the website, on our show's website, www.thepes.com. The Whitman County Humane Society is in need of volunteers. Located in Pullman, the shelter is dedicated to caring for stray, abandoned, and abused animals. Opportunities include walking, feeding, and grooming the animals. For more information, call the shelter at 332-3422 or visit them at their website, www.whitmanpets.org. The dogs and the cats will thank you with their unconditional love. Speaking Japanese, if you please. Learn Japanese for free. Everyone is welcome to join on the good times at Neal Public Library every Tuesday. Beginners can learn about the Japanese culture and basic speaking and writing skills from 4:30 to 5:15 p.m. Intermediate students will focus on grammar and vocabulary from 5:15 to 6 p.m. And the advanced classes with one-on-one teaching meets at 5:30 to 6:15 p.m. Contact Kimi Hirose at 509-432-3903 or the Neal Public Library at 334-3595 for more information. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to contact KZUU at 335-2208 or email gm@kzuu.org. All right, now that we've gotten the politics done, we have sports. WSU men's basketball and their woes, as well as the Super Bowl and the upset victory by the Giants, as well as the Super Bowl ads. I've received a new job, sort of. I'll tell you a little bit about that. And a little bit on the technology side, we'll talk about Windows Home Server. Stay tuned. The favorite of the PES, the Reverend Horton Heat. I love that song. It's sort of a relaxing one to me. A little bit laid back, all that kind of stuff. Unlike being laid back, let's talk sports. We had the Super Bowl happened yesterday, and we also had Cougar basketball on Saturday and the Tuesday prior to that. Talk about both of those events. The Super Bowl. I got together with the CCPA, the Colfax Card Players Association. It's a group of us down there from the Colfax area. We get together every Super Bowl and other times, but every Super Bowl for about the last 7 years. We get together, sort of do the potluck thing, play nickel dime quarter, dealer choice poker, and watch the Super Bowl, watch the commercials, have some fun with it. The Super Bowl this year, obviously going into it, everybody, you know, maybe I'm not going to talk about this very long because I think everybody's been talking about it and everybody will be talking about it, blah, blah, blah. Just give you my opinions on it. First off, I think that I know I was very happy the Giants won. I don't know why, but I just didn't want to see that New England team win, go undefeated this year. I guess it would have been neat to see that excellence and see the perfection. See the 19-0 season. Some people are like, well, they cheated. I don't want to see them win it because they cheated. I had a much different reason. A lot less logical, too, let me tell you that. Tom Brady. Not because it's Tom Brady, but because he was put in there and pushed out Drew Bledsoe. Now, it wasn't his fault. I mean, granted, I mean, it could have been any quarterback. The coach made the decision. The coach made it happen. You know, Drew Bledsoe got hurt. Tom Brady went in. Drew Bledsoe never made it back in for the Patriots. Except when Tom Brady got hurt one game, Drew Bledsoe came in there, won the game, allowed them to go to the Super Bowl. But I just have this problem with that program ever since. So, yeah, like I said, it's not a logical reason. I'll admit it, and that's why. Now, the Super Bowl game itself, relatively low scoring affair for the New England Patriots and Tom Brady. I don't know what was going on. They did not look like the same dominating team we'd been seeing all season long. They looked horrible. They looked flat. They didn't look like they were prepared to beat the Giants. They looked relatively even matched. The first game the Giants and the Patriots played later in the season, I was rooting for the Giants then, but they just weren't able to pull it off in the end, and, you know, the Patriots just, you know, they controlled the game. This time, it just didn't seem that way. It seemed like Brady was getting hit left and right. Well, was there a problem with his foot or ankle that caused him to not be able to play as well? I don't know. But, you know, it's a Super Bowl. You got to step up, right? And now, the Super Bowl ads, I have to say, were probably the most as the overall look of it, I think was probably one of the most disappointing years in probably the last dozen years. The ads were just mediocre at best. Very few of them were very funny. I thought they had just a ton of ads for Fox TV programs and that kind of stuff, and that took away from somebody. But it's almost like maybe it was the writer's strike. I guess we could blame it on the writer's strike. I don't know. It'd be interesting if that's why the ads were horrible this year, is because of the writer's strike. That could be. And now we see why we need the writers, because without it, we'll have horrible Super Bowl ads. But it was blah. There's a couple commercials that, you know, caused some laughter with the group that I was with, but for the most part, everybody's just like, what? And then some of the commercials, you were left wondering, what in the world were they even promoting? I don't know for sure. So anyway, I don't think that there's anything special about them. I mean, I can't even give you a top five list. I could maybe give you a top one or two, but anyway. So the game itself wasn't a high-scoring offensive battle. It was relatively low-scoring, you know, a lot of defense in there. I'll tell you what, the three and outs that the Giants had, and especially when Brady had 35 seconds and three timeouts to get down the field, you know, nobody thought the game was in hand. Nobody. People still were thinking, oh, geez. You know, one long shot, Brady to Moss or something like that, and all of a sudden you got a whole new ball game. You know, you're a field goal away from tying it. And I have a feeling that if they'd gone into overtime, I have a feeling that that New England would have won. So I was a little nervous when there was still that much time on the clock, but when the Giants broke through and sacked Brady, it was just huge. I mean, then the hit on Brady was incredible. I was commenting to the people I was with, I was like, man, that should be the photo they have on the newspaper, just the shot of Brady just being crunched by this guy, and more or less, you know, the 18-1 season, or, you know, lost perfection or something, because it was just like, I mean, that was a telling hit right there. That pretty much summed up the game for them. Just a crush to Tom Brady, a crush to everything. So, anyway, I guess there's not really a ton to talk about as far as the Super Bowl goes. I believe Eli Manning got his MVP out of it. You know, he did have the one interception. Now, I don't know if I'd definitely... I mean, it's too bad that he gets charged with the interception when it's in and out of the hands of the receiver, and it's more or less the receiver that caused the ball to be intercepted, but I guess that's just the way being a quarterback is. Sometimes you get blamed for other people's inabilities. The Super Bowl ads weren't so super. I like the outcome of the game. You know, I don't know if this will go down as one of the greatest games in Super Bowl history or not. I don't think it was I can't say it was one of the greatest games, but I was happy to see the outcome that happened. Let's just put it that way. We'll be right back. The Cougars song right there, All Hail Washington State, is probably the one I should have played, but I have a special treat for everybody out there in the PES land. I got on the telephone with me. It's going to be Tom Forbes. Tom, how are you doing today? You with me, Tom? Oh, come on. Please say you're with me. All right, let's try it again. Tom, how are you doing? Oh, no, don't tell me I lost Tom. I have Tom Forbes, I promise. I really do. Let's try that. Tom Forbes, how are you doing? All right, I must have lost him. Sorry about that, Tom. Hopefully he'll call me back in a second. The good news is this. He's on his way back from the county commissioner's meeting. We are going to talk about the Hawkins development. The vote was, sounds like the vote was just today. And he has information from there. But in the meantime, what I'm going to do is we're going to talk the Cougar men's basketball team. Well, the women's basketball team, unfortunately, has been having some major woes. I believe they got blown out by the Huskies 82-40. So hopefully they'll come back from some of these woes, and we'll see them on the winning sides. But in the meantime, on the telephone, we got Tom Forbes, right, Tom?
Can you hear me?
Yes, there we are. You know, this one was my fault. The PGM button, I noticed it wasn't lit up. And
I think people that listen to your show realize the technical complexity of the running the show without an engineer.
Yeah.
I can attest to this personally.
Yes, it can be difficult at times. So, Tom, here you are somewhere between the hills of Pullman and Colfax.
Yes.
On your way back from the commissioner's meeting about the Hawkins development. How cool is that?
The commissioners this morning voted unanimously to promote a $9.1 million infrastructure bond in coordination with the Hawkins companies of Boise to put in a 700,000 square foot retail development on the state line.
That is exciting. That is really exciting.
We were all smiles at the courthouse today, I can tell you. Everyone was very, very happy. The commissioners have worked for a very long time to try to promote economic growth in the quarter, and this is the important first step.
So now with this development of it's $9.1 million, which, you know, they kept on throwing around the figure of $10.5 million.
Right, right.
Why such a huge difference, $1.4 million less?
Well, it's just, you know, it's still very preliminary. This is just a preliminary agreement today. The bond will be issued, I guess, by June. So this was the first step in that process. I'm not exactly sure about all the number crunching about how it's varied around, but it ended up around $9.1 million preliminary.
Great. Well, Tom, I'm a taxpayer of the city of Pullman. What's this going to do to my taxes?
Nothing.
What?
You won't even see it on your tax bill at all.
But this is $9.1 million, Tom.
So it'll be completely paid back with sales tax revenue from the Hawkins development.
So it's not going to cost me anything, and we're going to get more retail and taxes into Whitman County?
Conservatively, close to $2 million extra dollars a year in taxes once the bond is paid off.
Wow, that's pretty exciting stuff. That's really exciting. So not only are my taxes not going to go up, does this mean that the chances of other places building in the corridor will be increased because the infrastructure is going to be there?
Absolutely. You know, initially, of course, the infrastructure is only going to be there just to support the Hawkins project, but once the bond is paid off, the county will essentially be in the water business. The county will own a water pumping plant as well as a sewage treatment plant in the corner. And money from the Hawkins project can be used to expand this infrastructure, which will then be able to expand growth in the corridor.
Oh, wow. So places like the ingoing James Toyota, are they going to... Would they be waiting around now until this comes in, or do they already have other plans?
I think James is moving forward. I think, you know, the water needs of a auto dealership for Menlo, I think they've already taken care of their water and stormwater needs. From what I understand, they're going to start building before too long.
That's great. So because of this vote, what will happen with what they're trying to do at the Modesto City Council?
That's the question on everybody's mind. Tonight, on the Moscow City Council agenda, they are scheduled to go into executive session tonight to vote or agree on a proposal agreement with the Hawkins Company, which they, if you remember, had mediation with Hawkins last week in Spokane. Everyone has signed a confidentiality agreement. No one has any idea what the results of those meetings were, but apparently tonight the city council is going to be prepared to vote on this.
So now if the Moscow City Council thumbs up this project and we voted for the $9.1 million or the commissioners voted for this bond, would both of them happen then?
There's any number of ways that this could go down. You know, first and foremost, what would be the most useful thing that Moscow could do would be to drop their appeals. That would significantly help the process, and there would only be one appeal that Hawkins needed to get resolved versus four. And, of course, there's been talk that Moscow would agree to run water and sewage to the Hawkins development in return, you know, for a piece of the sales tax revenue.
So would that be one of those things that they would do it for a period of time until we got our infrastructure?
Potentially. I don't know. It's anyone's guess how things are going to shake out. But today is certainly going to be a memorable day in the economic history of the Palouse area, that's for sure.
So now with this vote done, that does not mean for sure Hawkins is going to build. Is that correct?
Well, there's obviously several things that have to happen before Hawkins can come in. The first and foremost, as I mentioned, there are four appeals that have to be heard before the State Pollution Control Hearing Board. And those would be the three appeals that Moscow filed against the water rights transfers that Hawkins requested, and then the appeal that Hawkins had of the one water rights transfer that was denied by the Department of Ecology. So all of those have to be resolved favorably before this development can take place. Unless, of course, Moscow is willing to supply water service.
So if Moscow supplies water service, then the rest of this is more or less moot?
Pretty much.
Okay. And if Moscow supplied water service, then groundbreaking could take place pretty quickly. If
I would
not,
think so.
Then we still have...
Right, because even the appeal with the Department of Ecology that Hawkins filed, you know, for the one denied right, which was for 60% of the water, if Moscow provides water, obviously they don't need to pursue that.
Although there's so many different factors
here. The city of Colton, of course, the town of Colton, is very tied up in this process. Water rights transfers going through are very important, for the city of Colton's future development because they're part of this deal. So I don't know. I would assume maybe the appeals would continue just so that Colton could get what they wanted and that Hawkins would control those water rights. It's just that wouldn't be an impediment to them breaking ground because if they had water coming from Moscow, they could start construction.
Now, what is Colton getting out of this?
Colton is getting some rights so they can do some more development in their town. There's obviously some housing developments and things that they're wanting to put in, but they're tapped out of their current water rights.
But they're trading water rights.
Yeah.
So how, if they already have water rights that they're trading, then how are they tapped out?
You know, it's pretty complicated.
Okay.
But, there is a deal where Hawkins is making a swap with someone else and in return for Colton getting something. So
it's almost like a little three-way trade type of thing.
Yeah, it's like
something.
In baseball you have those three-way trades. It's kind of like that.
Okay. I was just sort of curious how Colton... But, yeah, I know when you drive through Colton on your way down to Lewiston, you can see that they've been putting in some new developments and everything, so I can see how this would be helpful for them to grow their city.
Yeah, there was
a
developer from Colton that went to the Moscow City Council meeting last week and basically asked that they drop their appeals because not only is it affecting the Hawkins development, it's affecting the Colton as well.
Interesting. So we have the vote's been put into place.
Yes.
We have at least that $9.1 million from the commissioners.
Right.
So we have that avenue open, but that avenue will depend upon the water rights appeals.
Sure, water rights, and then also Hawkins has stated they need to get Lowe's as a major tenant before they'll begin. Now they need at least one anchor store before they'll begin construction.
I guess I was sort of under the impression that the Lowe's was already there.
I think that's the case. I'm not sure it's official, but I think everyone's pretty sure that Lowe's will be one of the tenants. And then there was a story last week that another undisclosed retailer had signed an agreement as well.
Interesting. Now you had published on Palousetix.com a listing of businesses that have been typically found in other Hawkins developments. Can you remember a couple of those businesses?
Yeah. It's Hawkins, of course, builds shopping centers all over the country. I was actually meeting with some of the Hawkins representatives at the meeting today and just, you know, expressing our thanks for hanging there with us. And they build things in Texas and South Carolina and Virginia and places like that. But they have a lot of developments in the Northwest. And the interesting thing is you look at all the developments they have in cities that are kind of smaller in the Northwest, like, places outside of Boise, Pocatello, Denton, Oregon. The one central store that they always seem to have in all of their developments is a Sportsman Warehouse.
Now, the Sportsman Warehouse, that's a place where you can buy, what kind of sporting supplies? Would it be sort of like a Cabela's type of place, or would it be more of a team sports type of place?
It's, I think, more of a Cabela's type place.
Okay.
It's outdoor stuff, you know, fishing gear, you know, shirt, you know, outdoor clothing, jackets, boots, stuff like that.
And right now in Whitman County, we really don't have anything like that.
No, the only store in the area that really kind of fills that would
Tri-State.
Be the Tri-State, yeah.
Right. And, you know, I believe the owner of Tri-State is a huge proponent of growth in the corridor, so I'm sure he's happy to hear this.
Yeah, well, that could be one reason why he doesn't want it to come, because he might know who's coming.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, competition is always good.
Sure.
Unless you're the one being competed against.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I had pointed out recently that the addition of Lowe's, some people said, well, that will hurt the Pullman Moscow building supply companies. And I said, well, to me, that adds competition to those companies, because right now, what other building supply stores do we have?
Well, there aren't any.
I mean,
you know,
it's
a good thing because, I mean, you know, we've known for probably a couple of years now that
they plan
Pullman
to build
building
next
supply,
to
the Pullman part of Moscow Pullman building supply, has had plans to open a 140,000 square foot store on Bishop Boulevard next to Walmart. Well, why do you think that is? Because they know Lowe's is coming. I mean, that's been an open secret for the last couple of years.
Right.
So that's their way of dealing with competition, is to expand their business.
Right. And
why competition is good.
And beyond that, I mean, if you've ever been to the current location.
Yeah, it's not very good.
No, it's not a great.
It's the world's biggest Quonset hut.
Yeah, so you got that. You have to go across State Street to get to parts
right.
of their area. So it's a really long business area, and it's not really all that friendly for contractors and other people who need to get quantities of stuff.
No.
So having a newer, larger place would definitely be helpful for the business.
Sure.
By all means.
Absolutely.
You know, granted, that's going to take away one of the beautiful downtown establishments that, you know, obviously, you know, will hurt the downtown so
right.
badly. But they're a local business, so it's okay that they leave the downtown and go to Bishop Boulevard to increase the sprawl in Pullman.
Right.
Because they're local. Sprawl's yeah. good if it's local.
But I think it'll be good. I mean, I think
there's
certainly
enough room. I'm excited about their expansion. I mean, I go to Pullman Moscow Building Supply.
Sure.
I go to Pullman Building Supply to get a lot of my stuff that I've been purchasing for some of the stuff that I've built. And, you know, even when there's a Lowe's, there's probably a good chance that I'll still stop at Pullman Building Supply before I make a trip out to Lowe's, only because Lowe's will be 7 miles out. Now, and I, you know, I mean, I know that by going to Pullman Building Supply, I'm going to be, you know, it's going to be a quicker trip for me, especially when I only need to buy one or two things.
Right.
You know, if I'm going for a big shopping trip or something, or, you know, I use my gift cards that I get since there's a Lowe's on the other side and people buy them for me, you know, I might be hitting my way to Lowe's or depending on what's going on. But the nice thing about it is now I have a choice. Now I have the ability to say I'm going to go here or here versus, well, I'm going to go there, and if they don't have it, then I'm hosed.
Right.
You know,
there's plenty of room in the Pullman Moscow market for two building supply stores. I mean, when you look at the number of new houses that are being built or have been built recently, you know, that's a no-brainer.
Oh yeah, plus just all the other all the other things that people are doing inside of their house,
right.
Or you know, decks and
sure, everybody's doing
everything.
Some kind of home improvement project or whatever. So yeah, that's I'm sure they researched it and seen that there was plenty of room for another home improvement store in this area.
Right. So you said that Sportsman Warehouse is seen all over Hawkins's place.
That's my guess. I mean, I have no inside information
sure.
whatsoever as to
sure.
you know, who it might be. It's just that really stuck out in the Northwest in particular that You know, there were a lot of sportsmen warehouses, but you never know. You know, that's the way it works in retail is, you're not just competing against the stores in your local town or, like, what's the best fit based on the stores in a local town. You have these national retailers, and they decided, okay, we're going to open 50 new stores this year.
Yeah.
So we might be competing with Topeka, Kansas, or wherever, you know, for the new store that this chain decides to open.
Right. And, you know, realistically, you know, a Cabela's-style store like, a you know, possibly the Sportsman Warehouse might be a great thing over here.
I think it would be.
The hunting,
I mean,
and the fishing
the
that you have.
All the people who do outdoor activities here, yeah. That really seems like a no-brainer.
It sure does. So we have that, and I believe on your list of businesses, another one was TJ Maxx.
Yeah, that seemed to be a real common one also.
That's a clothing grocery?
Clothing store. Small, not a big box, but a smaller type specialty clothing store.
Sure. What about, now wasn't there an office supply type of store in the list?
Yeah, you know, a lot of their developments have like Office Depot, but considering we already have one in Moscow, I'm not seeing, I think we're pretty set between Staples and Office Depot, or was it Office Max? Or
we have Office Depot and Staples over,
right,
in,
okay,
Moscow.
So between those two, I have a really hard time seeing a third player.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, I mean, but I, you know, the thing that we used to have in downtown Pullman was a Ken Stationery.
Right.
And, you know, they did a lot of the office supply stuff. And, I mean, granted, you can find a fair amount of office supply stuff at, like, the Crimson and Gray and Bookie. But, you know, not like a true outright office supply store.
Yeah, the city of Pullman could definitely use an office supply store. There's no question.
Agreed.
With SEL and the university, you know, some Staples or Office Depot would be a good fit here.
Sure. But, you know, there's, you know, and that's the hard thing is that there are two of them now already in Moscow, and they're only, you know, a rock's throw apart.
Right.
You know, Hawkins, you know, I mean, maybe Office Max does want to join the market and try to compete head-to-head with those other two stores.
Sure. There's nothing to say they couldn't. It's just, it seems like there'd be a pretty high density of office stores in a small area.
That's an agreement. Were there any other, like, was there any restaurants or anything that were pretty common in a Hawkins type of place?
You know, I can't remember. I wrote that, like, a couple, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I don't remember, but there were some restaurants, I think, that were kind of common, and other types of stores that were more common, you know, like, I think there's one of the spots is for, like, a shoe-type store. And,
okay.
But I don't remember. But, yeah, it's some interest. And there's definitely going to be some movie theaters there. That was on the
really?
List.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Now, that one is really interesting to me. That surprises me.
Well, you have University 3 or 4.
The
U4
closed.
Closing.
Right, they are closed.
Okay.
You know, and really, the U4 was pretty much the place I went forever around here until they opened up the East Side, and then I'd go to East Side and U4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, I'd hit the two or three in downtown Pullman that we had for a while.
Right.
Depending on who was showing what. And for a while, the same company pretty much operated all of them except for the U4. So you had pretty much just two companies operating every theater. Real Entertainment operated East Side, the two downtown Moscow theaters, and the three downtown Pullman theaters. Now, obviously, one of them is the wine, the OPO wine cellar, wine,
yes,
whatever. One of them is now a church, and
mm-hmm,
one of them is still a movie theater in Pullman.
Right.
And in Moscow, one of them turned into, I don't know what the new art went into, but the Kenworthy is now the performing arts. And
right.
I think
the
they still
art,
do movies.
Still show some movies.
Right, they still do some movies. And actually, Moscow also had a little place like the OPO called the Micro Movie House, which is now a tattoo place. Right off the main drag as you're getting into Moscow, sort of by Ambassador Auto there. So they had a couple places, but, you know, now you still have the East Side over there and the U4 gone. And the U4 was actually relatively small in comparison to, you know,
that
the
was,
downtown.
The screens were kind of small, and they didn't have the stadium-type seating. That
no,
people
and
that,
I think that's huge anymore, stadium,
yeah,
seating. And, you know, honestly, the East Side, I think, is sort of hurt by that, but the East Side is out there far enough that I think it's a pretty good attraction. You got a huge amount of parking, plus you got,
right,
food and other things there that, you know, make it a good place to go to watch a movie, grab some dinner or something like that. But movie theaters in there would be really interesting because it seems like we have a pretty abundant number of screens in the area for, you know, the population base.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the closing of the U4, you know, that leaves a little bit of room for some,
right,
from stuff. But, you know, that's, I'm sort of curious who's going to control the theaters, how many there's going to be. And what was interesting is Brelsford got, I'm going to stay out of politics for a second. Brailsford, I was going to talk about a few other things, but just, you know, Brailsford did get a decrease in the ticket tax in order to build the theater.
Right.
It was something he felt he needed to be able to be competitive against.
Yeah, there was like a special city ordinance that required like a $5 per head thing on any kind of event inside city limits.
Right.
Like a movie. You had to charge like extra $5. Theoretically, they would have had to charge an extra $5 per head for
yeah.
a movie.
And so they're like, okay, we got to get rid of a ticket tax, and, you know, I could build here. They got rid of it for him. And I don't know if that was like a grace period, we'll let you not have it for 5 years or 10 years, or if that was a forever
thing. I think it was a forever thing.
But it'd be interesting with the, I mean, if they're going to build one out there in the corridor, I they're obviously not going to have to try to get around this kind of.
Yeah, I don't think the county has a similar ordinance.
Well, yeah. So, you know, that'd be sort of interesting to, you know, see if there's going to be any competition of pricing. Or, but movie theater prices seem to be pretty uniform in an area. They don't tend to have any kind of real competition.
Yeah, there's not that much competition. I think it's more just, you know, there's enough movies out at any given time where, you know, you can have all the movies that are out and you're not really don't have much duplication. Unless you get in a big area like Seattle, but then it's more just, you know, do you feel like driving 20 miles or 5 miles to go see a movie?
So yeah. Which theater do you like the best?
Price as it is, just location.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I even saw that over here. It's like, I know that the theater in Pullman cost more money than the theater in Moscow, but there's a lot of times people prefer to go to the Pullman theaters because you had the better sound system, better screens,
right.
stadium seating. You know, those were attractions. When
sure.
when you figure you're spending yourself $6, $7, $8 to watch a movie, you know, you want to have the best experience possible. So
sure, I'd much rather go to Village Center to watch a movie, I guess, just because it is kind of the state-of-the-art technology now.
Yeah. What would be really interesting is someday if they start making more smaller theaters, but they're more private, where, you know, they can start the movie more or less on your demand.
Right.
And you can have, you know, you have the theater experience of having a full theater and having everybody laugh or whatever at the same time, but at the same time, the theater experience is getting ruined by everybody who doesn't feel that they have to turn off cell phones and by people who feel it's okay to answer said cell phone after it rings inside a theater. You know, and it's like, I'm paying $8
and
to watch
then
this
you
movie,
know
when I really
and
don't want to
when you hear them say, oh, that's okay, when you know the person has called and said, I'm sorry, are you in a movie? And they go, no, that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm watching a movie. Yeah, so am I. Turn off your phone.
That's okay. Not your fault.
Yeah. No big deal. So, yeah, I mean, it would be interesting if that was sort of like something that came up that, you know, you
sure.
had little 5 or 10 or maybe even 20-man theaters that, you know, obviously you're not going to have as big of a screen, but would be, you know, personalize your experience. So rather than having to be there right at 7:15 and you're running late, the
right.
movie starts when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting. Now, I just said this idea. It is 13,4800 hours
right,
on the 4th of February 2008 in the year of his Lord AD. It's my idea. You steal it, I'm going to hit you in the kneecap like Tonya Harding did to Nancy Kerrigan. It's now set. So anyway, Tom, that is really exciting news going back to the whole Hawkins thing being voted on. I'm
yes.
glad to see that the couple people who spoke out against this, the cave dwellers, as we would like to maybe call them, and cave stands for what?
Citizens Against Virtually Everything.
Yes, the cave dwellers who came out, I shouldn't even say in force, who came out in a trickle to voice their whatever against this and for
the
whatever reason.
The anti-capitalist comments.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you and I met up for breakfast or lunch last Monday. Last Monday, and we talked about it a little bit, just the whole concept that, you know, I mean, this is a great opportunity for
sure.
Whitney County.
And, well, Hawkins, it's funny, Hawkins is everything that Walmart isn't. That supposedly all the things that people don't like about Walmart, Hawkins doesn't have. It's on a 5-lane highway, so traffic isn't a concern. It's far away from any kind of cemeteries, old people's homes, hospitals, schools, whatever. It's not close to any of that stuff. It doesn't have Walmart, so
yeah.
No one should hate it. You know, that's so. You know, the Chinese goods that are sold there are sold by other companies besides Walmart.
Yeah.
You know, and the poor wages and bad benefits at least are not through Walmart. So it's everything that Walmart isn't, and yet all the same people that are opposing Walmart are now suddenly lining up to oppose this.
Right.
Which is kind of funny.
Which all really...
And it's something different, too, because, of course, we've heard all along that, well, we don't need to replicate something we already have.
Right.
So Hawkins is going to bring in all new stores that don't exist anywhere in either Moscow, Pullman, Lewis, or Clarkston, and yet they're still against it. So I don't know.
And, you know, I really have a hard time believing that we'll get many people coming from Lewiston, Clarkston to shop in Pullman or, you know, Whitman County just because they already have their big Home Depots and they already
right.
have their
well,
big
depends,
shopping.
Well, it depends on what ends up in Hawkins. There might be
they might have,
that ends up in Hawkins
yeah.
that will bring people up from the LC Valley.
Exactly. There might be certain things where it's like, oh, I have to buy it. It's
yeah.
there. And since I'm here, I might as well
sure.
get my shopping done here, here, and here.
It could happen. I mean, I agree with you. More than likely, a Lowe's is not enough to bring people up from the LC Valley. But
right.
there could be other things that come in there. That
and
you
I
don't
hope
know about.
I hope so. Maybe a certain restaurant will come in that's really
sure.
popular that isn't anywhere else. You know,
or
I mean,
a certain retailer that everyone keeps talking about. Is so awesome. You never know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know that. Yeah. So, I mean, there definitely could be that possibility that
sure.
we see some people coming up. Like I said, I'm not going to hold my breath that people are, you know, are going to come up in droves. Now, people coming up here, for sure. I mean, people come up from Lewiston for all sorts of different reasons. I mean, you see a fair number of plates that say, you know, that have the N in front of the numbers, which means they're from Nez Perce County, which
right.
is the Lewiston area. So you see those people up here all the time because you see those plates everywhere.
Right.
So people do come up here. And just having that as a shopping ability and an opportunity is going to be great for the area. Not only will it maybe possibly get people coming up, but the biggest thing is it will keep people from going down.
Well, and, you know, it's not even so much one particular store, but you get to where it's kind of a center of mass where you have so many of certain types of stores, and then it becomes a destination. It's like
yep.
Spokane. You don't go to Spokane for one particular store. You go, like, to go to the Valley Mall. You know, I'm not going to go all the way up to Spokane just to go to Barnes & Noble, for example.
Sure.
But while I go up there for all the stores that are in the Spokane Valley Mall or around the Spokane Valley Mall, I'm going to shop probably at Barnes & Noble. And so that's what I'm thinking will happen with us is, you know, you've got Old Navy now in the Palouse Mall, which doesn't, there's no Old Navy in Lewiston or Clarkston, and that's kind of a destination.
Sure.
You've got Bed Bath & Beyond, ditto. You know, you throw in some maybe stores in the Hawkins development. And, you know, pretty soon you have maybe a destination there where people will start coming up from the LC Valley to go spend a day shopping.
And, you know, the nice thing is between the mall and the stores that are, you know, on the strip right there and the Hawkins development, I mean, it truly is a destination.
Yeah. And that's kind of the goal.
And
that's why Moscow really stands to benefit.
Exactly.
At least as much as Whitman County does
and
out of this.
That's the nice thing is that finally Whitman County gets a piece of the pie.
Right.
We get to finally play in the
right.
same game.
We don't want to dominate. We just want a piece of the action.
Yeah, we'd be happy with that.
Sure.
I mean, give me some crumbs, sir, please. So, yeah, anyway, I'm really excited. I'm glad the commissioners voted that way. I had a feeling, I mean, at least Jerry Finch was going to vote that way. Jerry Finch seems to be a very pro-business commissioner.
Yes.
And, you know, I had no doubt that, I really felt strongly that, Parch was going to vote that way too. And, you know, I mean, I don't know much about Largent since he's the newer guy of the group, but, he seemed pretty pro business when
sure.
he was running.
Absolutely.
And I know you were a big fan of his.
Yeah,
so,
I still am.
So there we go. You know, so I pretty much knew we were going to be in good hands there. And speaking of big fans of things, I know, you know, you're probably getting pretty close to Pullman and we're getting pretty close to the end of the time here,
yeah.
but we got Super Tuesday, Tom, the new Tom, and I spent some time talking politics, talking Super Tuesday. He tried his darndest to get out of me who I would be voting for if I was able to vote Super Tuesday. I told him Fred Thompson.
Right.
But he's like, he's not running. I said, I'm writing his name in. But seriously, though, I know Tom Forbes has definitely expressed his support for a particular candidate who now might be considered the New York Giants in the Super Bowl.
Sure.
What would you like to say about Huckabee?
Well, yeah, I think Mike Huckabee is probably the only real conservative, you know, left in the race. I'm not really happy with McCain or Romney. McCain, I think we all know the issues with him. He's pretty liberal for a Republican. Romney, I have a lot of concerns about just because, you know, he's flip-flopped on a lot of the issues. You know, he used to be one thing, and now he says he's for another. So I think Mike Huckabee really is the only genuine conservative left in the race. I mean, I would have had no problem voting for Fred Thompson either. I was, you know, I certainly liked him a lot, too. It's just, you know, I've been backing Huckabee since he got in the race earlier. But
sure.
But Fred, I think, was a great guy. He would have made a great president also, and I was, you know, kind of sad to see him go. And So, yeah, I really hope that, you know, Huckabee can pull that fourth quarter upset tomorrow and stay alive. I mean, he definitely needs to win a few states tomorrow to kind of stay in the running, because it really is looking like McCain has it more and more locked up, and I just have a real concern about that. I mean, I'll back him, I guess, you know, if he ends up getting the nomination as opposed to, you know, voting for the other guys, but I won't be as enthusiastic about it probably, and I fear a lot of other people won't be either. So
right.
That's my concern.
That is a big concern, is that, you know, it sounds like with Huckabee, I believe I heard on the radio when I was going somewhere this morning that I believe it was Romney was asking him to drop out of the race.
Yeah. Obviously, Romney would benefit probably the most, because of the two between Romney and McCain, you know, I guess conservatives might be more willing to go with Romney versus McCain. And he thinks that, you know, at this time, you know, for Romney to stay in it, he'd like to have Huckabee's support, could push him over in a few states, especially in the South, because it is possible tomorrow McCain could get an almost insurmountable lead in delegates after tomorrow.
Sure.
So it doesn't matter how much money Romney has left, mathematically it will be out of it.
So Romney sees Huckabee as the Ross Perot
of kind of the
George Bush. Yeah, he comes
kind of
in and takes George Bush's votes and more or less dilutes that and allows the 42%er to win.
Right. But, you know, I think it's good that he sticks around, just give voters more choices.
Yeah, nothing
wrong
with
choice.
You know,
I think it's never a bad thing when voters have more choice, and I hate to before it's over.
Yeah, nothing wrong with choice. We like choice. That's what we're going to get around here with the addition of Hawkins, with the expansion of both James Toyota and the Pullman Building Supply, as
mm-hmm.
well as a super center
right.
by Walmart out there on Bishop Boulevard one of these days. So things are looking up. Things are going the correct direction. And I thank you for calling in, Tom. You gave us some great information, sort of some breaking news on the vote. Hopefully we scooped the D news there on that one. Sorry, Steve.
Yeah.
So...
Okay.
All right, Tom, you have a great one. Yeah.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Once again, that was former co-host of the PES, Tom Forbes, was down in Colfax at the commissioner's meeting where he learned that the commissioners voted 3-0 in favor of a $9.1 million levy to support the development of the infrastructure that will allow the development of the Hawkins $700,000 business mall, I guess you'd say. I asked Tom, I mean, I knew the answer to it, but of course I still asked him to, you know, let him answer it. And essentially the question was, how much is that going to cost me as a taxpayer of the city of Pullman? And he said nothing, because the conservative estimate is that the Hawkins will bring in sales tax about $2 million a year, and that will be more than enough to pay off the bonds. And then after that point, it's just gravy for Whitman County. And $2 million in a budget of, say, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. County is relatively small, but when you look at the Whitman County budget, $2 million is a lot of money. And maybe that means that we won't have to increase the sales tax of the citizens of Whitman County for a long time to come. Maybe that means that certain services can be extended as far as county government goes. Maybe they'll be able to put a lot of the services on the web which aren't currently out there like they do in some larger counties. So you might be able to, in the future, do your business directly over the internet without having to make a drive to Colfax, without having to make a telephone call to Colfax, without having to send a stamped letter to Colfax, that you could just get right on the internet and maybe, you know, find out how much taxes you owe and be able to pay it right on the internet. Having the kind of resources that this Hawkins development could bring in could allow Whitman County to be able to afford the necessary development servers and whatnot to do that. And that would be a huge service to Whitman County. It serves Whitman County in two ways. One, it makes it so the actual manpower in Colfax doesn't necessarily have to increase for offices, for people to be there to take stuff, where people are able to serve themselves over the web. And then you still have those services for the people who still prefer to go in and get a friendly smile from our wonderful employees down at the Whitman County Courthouse in Colfax, Washington. So this is really exciting. We'll see what Moscow does tonight on their vote, whether they can extend the services to Hawkins or not, or whether they're willing to. You know, as a taxpayer of Whitman County, I'm really excited one way or the other. It would be nice if Moscow did it. It would be, you know, it'd be that handout saying, hey, you know, let's work on this together. We realize as the city of Moscow, as the citizens of Moscow, that by having Hawkins here, we're going to benefit because we have an office and Office Depot and a Staples. We have the Hastings. We have the mall. We have Tri-State. We have Walmart. We have all this stuff concentrated in the shopping area. And having Hawkins will just be that much more that will bring people into the area. And you go to Hawkins Development to find something at one clothing store, and you're like, well, I didn't really find what I wanted, or I want to buy more stuff. Hey, let's run over to the Macy's and the Bed Bath & Beyond and Old Navy. Or I'm over at Old Navy, and I want to go to TJ Maxx. Or maybe there's a restaurant or a movie I want to hit. I mean, there's so many options and possibilities, and they're right next to each other, and it makes everything so much better for both sides. And I really think it would be a benefit. It would be a mutually beneficial thing. Moscow will be able to siphon off money that people who are coming to the Hawkins and people are going to go to Hawkins that we're going to be over in Moscow. And the biggest benefit is maybe stopping the car trips to Lewiston and Spokane, maybe making it a few less car trips there. Also offering some competition. Competition is helpful for the area. Competition is helpful for a lot of things. So, well, we are out of time. It is now just after 2:00. The show is coming to an end. I had a chance to introduce everybody to our new co-host, Tom Westfall, and we will be back together again next week on 1:00, or excuse me, noon on Monday. There's just one last thing I wanted to talk about, since it's still fresh here, is the snow days we just recently had. It was sort of interesting. I think Tuesday's snow day was very appropriate. Oh, no, excuse me. Thursday's snow day was very appropriate, as there was a lot of snow and it was getting worse and worse and worse. However, I'd have to say that Friday was a little bit premature to be called a snow day. You know, but realistically, I think Elson Ford was a darned if you do, darned if you don't situation, because either way, somebody would have complained, as everybody in the world seems to be a complainer anymore. Once again, this is the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM.